This is Pam Chambers interviewing Tara Wahlberg, musician and teacher, at her home at 3439 West 24th on the 10th day of April, year 2000. Tara, I've known you for a number of years, and you are a musician and music teacher. I don't believe you did start out in Vancouver, so can you tell us about your early life and where you studied music and how you got going and how you came here and so on?
Sure. I was born in Saskatchewan, and my family had always enjoyed music, and no one had had the opportunity to have formal training. So as a small child, I was given piano lessons, and it was instilled in me that music was important, and education in particular was important. So I grew up in a variety of places and did spend some formative years in Vancouver in the early 70s on West 29th when my father was posted here with the RCMP. So that was an interesting time. I then went on and did high school in Regina, and my grade 10 piano there, and went on for a Bachelor of Music at Brandon University in Manitoba for my undergraduate work.
Some good teachers there, right?
Very good. Yes. And, of course, it's the home of the A-grade competition.
That's right.
Which, as an 18-year-old who'd never really heard any contemporary music to speak of, to then attend something like the A-grade as a student was...
I think better there will be people reading this that won't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Eckhart Grammaté.
Yeah. National competition, and it's the biggest Canadian competition in the country for up-and-coming young musicians. And I believe, I forget how much the cash prize is, but it does include a tour, an arranged cross-country tour. It alternates between voice, strings, and piano. And it was funny, Steve wrote, my husband Steve wrote the test piece for the 10th anniversary A-grade for voice the year I was in Brandon, and we never met.
Oh.
So that was quite a coincidence.
That was, yes. So that was because they commissioned new music for the test pieces, but everything had to be
contemporary.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's certainly the major Canadian competition for Canadian music for young artists, and it's CBC sponsored and receives quite a bit of press. And that made such a strong impression on me that in little old Brandon that there was this fervor and support for new music in a very unsuspecting location.
Yes. Well, that's wonderful. And so you had other travels before you got here, but you brought that.
I brought that with me.
With you.
I then did my master's in England, actually. I went to London and did my master's. It's an MA, but I did it in music criticism. So I always liked to write and had wanted to go on in performance. I did have a lot of tendonitis problems and thought, what am I going to do with all this specialized knowledge? I always liked teaching, but I had wanted to go to graduate school. And, of course, the tradition of British newspapers, it seemed the perfect place to learn how to write about music. So I had done that and... came back. My cat is licking you. Can. And came back from England to Vancouver. And hadn't planned to stay here. I was going to go back to Europe. And
you did come here then? That was there.
My parents were
here?
Newly retired here.
Oh.
And I didn't have any ties to anywhere, having been in London for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And I met Steve. Temping at UBC.
Because was, or you were?
I was. Oh. He was, of course, teaching out there, and I was in the secretarial pool.
Oh!
before teaching could start, I thought, well, I had to earn my keep somehow.
Yeah.
And they put me in the music department, and that's how we met. Because I hadn't planned to stay. I was going to temp for the summer and go back to Europe. And I met Steve, and I haven't been back to Europe since.
I believe you have your chance, though, this year, because you're going on sabbatical together.
Yes.
Which I'm initially
very excited about. We'll be based in the UK. And then we'll do some traveling from there. So it's been worth the wait.
Oh, I think so. Good for you. So, anyway, back to your career. You were really doing secretarial work, which wasn't your main love, but you got married or shortly after that.
We arrived. I worked at the university for the summer. With the intention of beginning to teach in the fall. And I began my teaching, actually, I was living in South Granville and teaching in Abbotsford 4 days a week because I felt I couldn't get a full class. I needed a full class right away.
Yes.
And I didn't know that many people in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And so I was teaching in Abbotsford that first year, mm-hmm. which was a lot of driving. But then the next year I only taught in Abbotsford 2 days and got 2 days of teaching here in Dunbar, and then the year after that, I had my full studio here in Dunbar Heights. Mm-hmm. So I've got a nice selection of students. Mm-hmm. I have between 35 and 40, and they range in age between age 6 or 7 right through to 18 or 19. Mm-hmm. And then I have a clutch of adults that are very interesting. Most of whom are Dunbar residents.
I see.
And I have 6 adults, and we're having our adult soiree in June, which they won't play with the children, of course.
No, they shouldn't have to.
So we have them here for some snacks and a libation of some kind for them to get up the courage to play for one another. So it's very informal, but really, really fun.
Oh, yeah.
Very rewarding.
So, with your interest in contemporary music, do we put some emphasis on that with
in my regular teaching? I always did, even before my other education. My piano teacher wasn't a big contemporary music fan, but she always gave me fairly interesting repertoire, and I think I always was drawn to it. Mm-hmm. So when I came to Vancouver, of course, there's a gazillion music festivals here.
True.
And, but for a community this size, I was surprised there wasn't more interest amongst the piano teachers in contemporary music. And that really surprised me. Of course, besides Brandon and the Agri competition, there's the Winnipeg New Music Festival, which sells out in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And I thought, there must be all kinds of contemporary music happening here. And although there is certainly Vancouver New Music has a following, it's a very small, unchanging group, I think. Or is my impression so far.
True. And has not reached out to children.
No. So I thought, well, I think it's really important, and I had found initially Vancouver a very competitive town, and I thought kids, certainly if they want to explore, don't need that pressure. And if we want to perform music that's not on an exam list, that isn't particularly graded, just to make music because it's fun to make music, that it should be non-competitive, solely Canadian content. And that's when the idea of the Collage Festival of Canadian Music came about, because I thought, well, we'll have to have a specific event. And our first one was in 96 at Dunbar Heights United Church, and we've held them every year since then at the church, who's been very supportive. Susan Pond, the music director there, has been very supportive, as has Elsa Zanker, who's a member of the congregation and, of course, a registered music teacher as well. So Elsa Zanker has also been very, very supportive. So the first year, we had no money and advertised And the day of the deadline, I sat by my door wondering if any applications would come through my mailbox. Thinking, well, if nothing happens, I guess I'll have a recital. But
you should already put the money down for the rent.
For the rental of the church. But we did have interest, so we began with piano and strings that first year in 96. And our adjudicators were Robert Rogers, who's been a long time West Side resident, although I believe he's Point Grey.
Yeah.
That's Point Grey. And Andrew Dawes, both of whom teach at UBC, and were very gracious when I approached them. Would they like to do this kiddie festival that's never existed before, to have the caliber of those people start us off was very encouraging, and we were delighted they wanted to help us.
Right.
So it's basically grown since then. We added voice in 97, the voice category, and Lorraine Reinhardt of the Vancouver Chamber Choir was our first voice adjudicator, and that's added a nice dimension, I think. Mm-hmm. It really adds to the concert to have voice, strings, and piano. And we were even lucky enough to present a world premiere at the Collage Festival in 98, I believe. I'd have to check that. It's on my notes. Eric Wilson premiered a cello and piano piece with Patricia Hoy accompanying. And that was very exciting, too, that we could present a new work and then encourage that with our young audience. Mm-hmm. We've since had some students write their own pieces and perform their own pieces in our festival, and we were really thrilled with that.
Yes.
That the kids have really taken that on board, that they could write a piece of music and, mm-hmm. and have something to share. So I think it's been... we draw a fairly broad section of students to the Collage Festival, and it's really been a fun, safe place to explore. And I think the teachers have also taken advantage of the fact that we don't care if it's on an examination list. We just hope the kids
something you like
have a good time, yeah. and are playing something they like or something that they're interested in.
Right. So how many registrations did you get the first time, approximately?
The first year it was just a 3-day event, and I think we must have had about 55 performers, 55 or 60 performers.
Excellent.
So we were pleased. I was very nervous.
Because you were nervous, weren't you?
Yeah. And thought, well, if mm-hmm. nobody participates, well, I guess it won't happen again. And we were pleasantly surprised. And it's steadily grown since this past year, 1999. We had about 85 performers and about 12 teachers involved. And we'd certainly like to improve that long term. We'd like to commission works. And we'd like to add woodwinds and brass at some point and welcome them.
Now, you've been a spark plug for this, and you are going to give way in the coming year. Have you co-opted people into continuing in your absence?
Well, it's been a difficult thing because we had a fairly good event this past year, and I don't want to lose that momentum. At the same time, it's a huge job.
Yeah.
So I have a couple things in the work. My main objective right now is to get a major sponsor, mm-hmm. and I've been doing some research with the Cultural Alliance and the Canada Council and considering incorporation and trying to figure out how to take us to the next level. So for next year, what we've tentatively planned is a gala fundraising concert because I will be away in November, and there didn't seem to be enough of a group. I mean, we could have had a collage recital, but I think we'll launch it in February as a big gala fundraiser and get everybody very excited about next fall, 2001, for a big launch, and hopefully I'll have a major sponsor to help us kick that off.
Right.
And we were considering sponsoring a teacher workshop in my absence as well, which I think would meet that need and keep our name in people's minds. Mm-hmm. The Vancouver Workshop Festival is planning a nice event next year in their festival in February, and of course that's at Carisdale Prez. And they're having Bob Rogers do a retrospective of Pentland, Barbara Pentland, who of course we just lost.
Yeah.
And they're going to invite David Duke to speak about Jean Coulthard, whom we also just lost. So.
Yeah, so the two of them are really pioneer composers.
Yeah, a real chapter is closed now that we've lost Violet Archer, Barbara Pentland, and Jean Coulthard
all in their 80s.
One fell swoop.
Yeah.
So hopefully there'll be some young women to replace them. Collage would like to find some women composers to commission once we have enough funds. And
there are some.
And there certainly are some. I know there has been some interest expressed. But you really need to bring the composers on board, and if they're not used to writing within the pedagogical parameters, that can be challenging for them. But I think it's good.
Right.
I think it's good. So my teaching will continue when I get back. Some of my clients were a bit nervous. Mm-hmm. Would I come back?
Well, yes.
So I've got most of my students taking theory in my absence, and hope to resume a full schedule.
Right. So you've got them placed, as it were.
Yeah. Until you get back. Yeah. But it's a big responsibility, and I think our community has support. They just need to be egged on a little more. I think there's lots of good intentions.
Right. And well, like anything, it needs a core of people that have the drive to do it.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing about the Dunbar support of Collage has been the local merchants. Stong's and Dunbar Greetings, Bosley's Pets. I know I'm forgetting some important ones. They're all on my program. Press and Music, the Silver Shop, the Garage, and of course the Canadian Music Center have all been really important and have been our only source of income. Is the advertising in the program and the entry fees that the participants pay, which are very low.
Very modest.
They're modest, so that's our only income at this point, which we'd like to find a nice fat patron to just say, here, keep doing what you're doing and don't worry about buying paper clips.
Well, that's not easy.
No.
It's not easy at all.
So if you know of a patron, we're looking for one.
Yeah. Well, I think every organization is. Residents Association would like
one too. We could share one.
Right. So sure. Let me take a breather here. So before we stop the tape, we were talking about your dreams to expand this, but initially, I understand that you were the one who started. Who got the idea to have this festival? Now, did the teachers support you? You did end up with strings and voice involved. So some people came on board.
Yeah, it was certainly a fragile beginning, and I began by inserting a questionnaire into the Vancouver branch newsletter to other music teachers. Would anybody else be interested in assisting or helping or participating in a Canadian non-competitive music festival? And the non-competitive element was very important to me because I thought Vancouver needed a festival like that, although there, of course, is the workshop festival. So initially, Amy Levinson, who also has a studio in Dunbar Heights, came on board with strings, and our first voice adjudicator was participating voice teacher, was Lynn Northfield. Mm-hmm. And both of those teachers were supportive at the beginning of our event. We went on to add the Lieutenant Governor as our honorary patron, and that's, of course, Mr. Gardam. And we added an honorary board as well that includes Maria Daskin, Stephen Chapman, Jane Coop, Andrew Dawes, David Gordon Duke, Linda Nymath, and Robert Rogers. So we've kidnapped their very fine reputations to help us raise our profile and hopefully attract more participating teachers.
And you need more working participants. Yes,
we do. Yeah. We need more workers.
Every organization has that same dilemma. Yes, people are so busy.
They are, and I think that's been a big shift in society, even amongst my own studio, to get a student and their families to a recital once a year is hard to do these days for busy families.
Right.
But without that initial support, we certainly wouldn't be where we are now. And without the support of the local merchants and teachers willing to take a chance on something new.
Right. And the other thing I wanted to ask you, did you feel that your registration was really mainly from people just around this neighborhood, or was it out there with teachers throughout the whole city that eventually came? You had more than a dozen teachers submitting students participate. Has it spread out through the whole city, do you think?
It has spread. Of course, some of my Abbotsford contacts participated the second year. It's a big drive from Abbotsford.
That's huge for them, yes.
But we've had Maureen Hollins from Surrey participating. And a teacher out in White Rock has sent students.
Okay.
So we've certainly had Ed Richmond as well. West Vancouver, we had some participating students from West Vancouver. We don't have any restrictions on who can participate, other than that they play Canadian music and don't come with a photocopy.
Right. Right. So, yes, there's that copyright. So anyway, this is really a kind of a homegrown Dunbar event.
Very much so.
It appears that it has the potential to have its effect on a much wider stage, is what I think.
Well, we would like to think so. We'd like to add Concerti long term, and as the EGRE does, rotate 1 year string concertos, voice concertos, piano concertos, so teachers could plan several years in advance for their instrument. And in a perfect world, we'd have the VSO read through with the winner.
Right.
And I've spoken with Clyde Mitchell and Rodney Sharman.
Or maybe the West Coast Orchestra.
Or we'd take anybody.
Yeah.
And we'd like to add that. I think it's so exciting for kids to hear an orchestra and to pursue chamber music. We've had a fair number of piano duets. We haven't had any two piano works yet. We can't afford to rent another piano at this point, but
no, don't encourage that for a while.
But we'd certainly like to encourage more chamber music. And I know some of the piano participants are now playing for some of the singers, which is nice. But we'd like to add string quartets or trios or
organ. There's an organ already there.
There's an organ already there.
Yeah.
I had spoken with several of the harp teachers about bringing harp on board, and guitar as well. There's several classical guitar teachers. That we tie in with National Canada Music Week is a problem for some teachers if they're working with university students,
right,
in that it's in the exam period. And I've thought about changing the time of year, but there isn't a perfect time of year. So we'll leave our celebration in November to support any other ongoing Canada Music celebrations.
Well, that's great. So that sounds like have we done it?
I think so. Thank
that
you very much.
That sounds like a very good place to finish.